Hey, we're live. Jimmy D and the Wolf podcast.
We made it.
Yeah. And we are missing Jimmy D. So he unfortunately can't make it today, but he sends his best. And instead, I have my good friend Fedge, who was on with us last week.
And ahoy, everybody. That's some shoes to fill. Jimmy's shoes are, that's big, no easy chore.
Yeah.
Right out of the gate.
So how's your week been since I talked to you last a week ago on the podcast?
Yeah, it was a pretty eventful week. I kind of enjoy kind of my weeks having a pace of their own. A cadence of my life is pretty nice, but I went to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and a friend of mine is a pastor there, and the person that does the worship leading wasn't available this week. Out of the country, I think that's what I heard about him. So I went up there and helped out with that. And then last night sang in a funeral, actually. And then made it back to Aberdeen this morning for work, before work.
So you sang Sunday and
yeah.
Stayed over. And then
Yeah, and the funeral was last night. I wasn't planning on. I woke up Monday planning to come on back this way, and that popped up in my friend's life. So he asked if I could help out with that. So
nice.
I did that. And I find
appreciated that.
Yeah, I find I didn't really know this about this part of me till the last few years, I think, but I kind of am a person that absorbs people's sadness and their happiness as if it's my own, if I'm in the presence. Like even like I sit courtside at the Northern Wolves games, basketball games, and just when I'm kind of worn out in a way when I get home, I just have to decompress, have some alone time, because it's just so fun, especially if they win, I suppose. Maybe not if they don't, but just seeing, being in a presence.
Centered in the frame? Either move yourself or move the camera so you're more centered in the frame.
Oh, you want me centered? How's this?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
I interrupted your flow. My apology.
Oh, that's all right. I yeah, that's good. So
Northern Wolves.
Northern State University is here. I just watch basketball games, but when it pertains to this funeral, more on topic of what's been going on since last week here, it's hard on me. I didn't know the individual. I knew some of the family of the individual, and it was a cousin of my friend. So, but I've learned that about me. So I set aside time if I have those events to kind of be by myself and,
well,
decompress or recharge maybe would be a better word.
You have empathy, probably more than the average. There are people who feel other people's, and then narcissists would be the other end of the extreme that don't have any empathy.
I think finding a balance of some of both of those is good. Like, I think it's good people look out for themselves too. So,
absolutely.
You know, I have a theory you can put just about anything on a bell curve and make some sense of it. And
I think so. Yeah.
And now, I think, go ahead. Sorry.
Please finish your thought.
Oh no, I was just saying, I think you could put narcissism and maybe, I don't know, worthlessness or selflessness on one side and find some really good ground in the middle.
Yeah.
40 to 60 percentile. So
sure. Yeah. Now, talking about funerals, now my ancestors are what's called Hutterites. There are some Hutterite colonies up in Aberdeen, and there's certainly a number from Huron where we both grew up.
Sure.
Hutterites, for those who don't know, are a group of people that came over, immigrated from Europe in the late 19th century, and my ancestors are Hutterites. And they're similar to the Amish, except take the Amish and make them have the most modern farming equipment available. That's what the Hutterites are. They all wear beards. The men wear suspenders, I guess. Maybe wearing a belt is a sin for them. I don't know. But and all the women wear the same kind of a dress, flower dress, long dress, and a scarf on their head. And they speak, their accent is very distinguishable. And but they, in South Dakota, they live they call them colonies, but they're basically communes. It's a business, and the business owns everything. You can't have any personal property. But those are my ancestors, and you can tell by the last name if someone is a Hutterite. There's a very distinctive – Walter is probably one of the sure. – Walter, one of the least distinctive Hutterite names. Glanzer, Cheddar, Hofer, yeah. Hofer, probably the most common one. And so my uncle, whose last name happens to be Hofer, and he married into his wife is from my mom's side, but both sides were Hutterites when they married, I guess. And his pastime is now he lives in Sioux Falls, and he's in his early 80s, and he goes to funerals. He was telling me this. He goes to funerals with names connected to the Hutterite name.
I see.
And just to, I guess, to have a connection with the heritage.
Sure.
And he told the story, and he was telling it in a whimsical way. So, I mean, mm-hmm. I think it's okay to laugh. He told this story of going to a funeral, which is probably everyone's worst nightmare, if you can think of it. But there was absolutely no one there except my uncle and the pastor. Absolutely no one at the funeral. No well-wishers, no family, huh? No friends. And he relayed this story with great humor of how the pastor came up to him and says, well, are they under, you know, the what do you call them, the undertaker? You know, they yeah. way about him. You have our condolences. Came up and talked to him and says, well, how did you know the deceased? I didn't know him. I just came to the funeral. So it reminded me also of what you were showing me earlier about your beard.
Yeah.
Hutterites all have beards. If they're married, they have to have beards.
Yeah. And
God help you, I suppose, if you can't grow a beard. And
yeah, what do you do?
Show the, if you don't mind.
Oh, you want to see my beard balm?
I do.
Tim and I were talking about this just before we came on, and I was saying to him, next time I do a podcast, next week probably, I'm not going to tell my beard because I have – I think most people do, but you have longer hairs in here. And then as long as they lay down, as long as they do their job, it's a good thing. They can be way longer, but they have to do what they're for, right? And it thickens it up. So I felt like my beard was like, I was telling him, it's like John Edwards, when he was trying to volunteer to be the vice president in 2004, like they were standing up saying, hey, I want to be on the Life podcast. So I had to get out the beard balm. Okay, see how I do this.
I can pull back. There you go.
Yeah, so I was trying to – I got the beard balm out, Honest Amish, and I tried to make my beard look a little bit like that
and
guy
without the pipe. You do look – you could pass for an Amish right now.
Yeah, I could take a picture and put it on my own.
Except the North Face sweatshirt. I don't think we'll do it.
Probably not.
I don't think probably the Amish not. Would, they wouldn't wear that. That's sinful for them probably.
Yeah. So, yeah, I had a – it was a good week. It was a little bit – I haven't done that for a while, probably a couple months or more since I've sang at a funeral. And it seems like a real purposeful way to, you know, spend some time and share myself with other people. But I do need recovery time from that. And I've lived a lot of years of my life not being aware of that, I think. It would have been a good thing to stumble on earlier, but it's... yeah, it's part of who I am. So that's kind of that was the highlight of my week.
Well, it's only Tuesday, so you.
Right, right. I mean, fiscal week from Tuesday to Tuesday.
Yeah, I got yeah. you. All right, so
yeah, I wanted to say one thing. It'll probably lead into what you kind of is on your heart today. You want to talk about in a second, but last week when I said watched back the podcast and I said I had antibodies. I really do have antibodies. A couple of my three daughters live in Rochester, Minnesota, and a couple of trips ago when I was there, I got a hold of an antibody test, and I have antibodies, and I never did get sick. So I just wanted to let you know that was, I actually have what they call antibodies. And,
so you had the test.
Yeah. Yeah. I got the test. I carried it in my luggage when I travel, just like looking at the line that says that I do. And people don't know. There's different opinions about how long it lasts, but what I wanted to kind of say in prelude to what you're going to be talking about here in a second is I feel very fortunate, like that I must have got COVID at some point and was unaware of it. And wow, that's something that I want to continue to be, aware of and grateful for.
Well, my pastor got it, and we didn't have the last two services of the year. And Sunday, when I saw him for the first time, I texted him, wished him the best recovery. And I asked him how it was, because I know some people have had it and asymptomatic. And my brother-in-law had it, and it was basically no symptoms. And the pastor's was rough, horrible. Nasty. He said, I wouldn't wish it on anybody. He said this horrible headache. And every time he moved, even moving his eyes would make his head hurt. And just taking all kinds of Mucinex, he said, worked. And so it's interesting. And then my friend Ashley was telling me that she's been studying it a bit. And she said that it depends. If you're type O, you literally, you're almost immune to it. Blood type. Talking about blood type.
Oh, I see. I see. And is that very common? Is that a very common type of blood?
You know, the most common ones. We were actually discussing this, and we both had. I thought O was the most common one, and she was saying O is the least common one. So I'm not sure. We have to research it. A, she said, is really common, and she said. So anyway, if you have O, you actually almost have antibodies, and automatically. I'm not knowledgeable on this subject. This is just something that she was mentioning, and it'd be interesting to research.
Sure, sure.
That it varies by blood type. I mean, how it will affect you. We certainly know that it definitely has affected people a lot differently in different situations. I mean, yes, we know if you're older and have other existing conditions that you will be more likely to die or to be really ill. But we don't understand. I don't think the doctors understand. And now they're saying there's new variants coming up. So it's quite interesting. But yeah, the whole blood type thing, that it may, that you, depending on what blood type you have, it may affect how it will, how badly it'll come after you and affect you, is a really interesting thing. But there was an article in the New York Times that was extremely interesting, and it talked about something that some people have said, you know, loss of taste and smell. And first, a little background. You know, I used to be in the food business, and I had snack foods. And in fact, you were working with me at the time there for a short while. And so I got involved a bit with, you know, with flavor profiles and that sort of thing. And there are people who have superpowers, if you will, on the taste of on the sense of taste and smell.
I see.
Literally get paid because they have these superpowers.
Yeah.
Superpowers, probably not the right word, but their sense of these two senses are greatly more enhanced than the average person.
Right. Right.
You know, just like
I understand what you're saying.
Some people have better great eyesight. Some people have. You ever heard someone eagle eyes and eagle eye?
Sure.
Or, you know, like a mother can hear. You know, seems like every mother has the best hearing in the world. Try to sleep.
I experienced that a couple of times when I was growing up.
You know, so hearing senses vary from individual to individual, I think, and so do taste and smell and taste. That's a sense of smell and taste. And in fact, most women will say that the guys, you know, most women seem to have a better, you know, guy thinks he's wearing a t-shirt that he's worn for five days, and it's no problem. And his wife or girlfriend is saying,
sure,
you stink, you know.
Yeah, there's a problem.
There's a problem. So, you know, the sense of smell and taste, which are closely, I think, intertwined.
What do we call them? What I call them?
You call
kissing double cousins, double kissing cousins or something? You know those double cousins where two sisters and two brothers get married? So they call them double cousins, and then they kiss. That's the smell and
the taste. So
only in 8 states can they be kissing legally. Cousins can get married. So Nebraska is one of them. Nebraska is one of them.
Really?
I would. Yeah.
So, you know, the thing about losing your sense of taste and or smell, and for many people it's come back, but not for everyone who's had this COVID. And there's that's what this article is about. Loss of smell haunts many after recovery. And it talks about this woman, Katherine Hansen, a case study, who actually had such a keen sense of smell that she could recreate almost any restaurant dish at home without the recipe, just by recalling the scents and flavors. How about that?
Wow.
That's a superpower right there.
That is.
She got COVID and she can't smell or taste anything. And she's recovered from it, but her sense of hasn't come back.
You're saying she's not sick like lungs or breathing or anything, but she still can't smell or taste.
Correct. She's completely recovered except for that. And yeah. They call it, now here's $1.25.
Yeah, big college word, I call it.
Big
college word.
Hey, Sean, he said he's getting his vaccine this Thursday. Yeah, let us know. Let us know how that goes. And I guess you got to get it 2 times is what I've heard.
Anyway, Sean works at my son-in-law there works at Mayo.
Oh, okay.
Clinic in Rochester. So.
Okay, is he involved with administering of it or?
No, but I think he's going to get it because he works there.
On the thing.
You might be able to type in. I don't. If I get talking about something, you know, pretty soon, so Sean will be going, don't tell him the color of my desk.
Oh, whatever. Sean is okay. I got you.
But he might type something in a little bit more intricate if he wants to about what he does there. He probably doesn't care, but I'm just saying what he does probably is he'll get the vaccine quicker than most of us. That's my point.
Yeah. All right. So the term for lost, diminished sense of smell is anosmia. I had to look that up, how to pronounce it. And it's definitely not a word that I knew before.
Okay, say that one more time.
Nosmia.
Starts with the N, nosmia.
A-N-O-S-M-I-A.
Anosmia. And you say the A on the front, anosmia?
Yeah, based on, I Googled it, how to pronounce it.
Yeah, I heard you a couple of minutes having someone
read that to
you. Having your phone read it back, yeah.
And, you know, talking about the sense of smell, you know, it's like one of those, you know, it's intensely connected with our memories. We it's like that sense of smell. We don't notice we don't have it until it's
yeah. You know that Wilson School where I went to grade school smells like it smelled like when you open a can of mushrooms.
The school did.
Sliced mushrooms. The hallways in that school, they had the same, that's the same smell.
Well,
so if I open a can of mushrooms, I'm right back. I'm right back in the principal's office.
Yeah.
Right back in there with Mrs. Buckland, waiting for Mr. Lounsbury to come and tell me what my punishment is for whatever I got into.
The sense of smell is the strongest sense for rekindling memories. It's very strongly tied to memories. And like if I smell the scent of freshly cut alfalfa, I'm right back on the farm as a farm kid.
Yeah.
Immediately, right back there. All I have to do is drive by a field in the summer that has just been cut down. So, and we don't realize how much we rely on it. You like older people will have more accidents in the kitchen because they can't smell when something's burning. Or you had told a story about your grandma.
Yeah. My grandma, the last few years, couldn't tell if the milk was sour or not. So it was pretty sour usually. And so I remember I would have been about 6, 7, 8, 9 in that range. And I had to decide, do I eat this cereal with the bad milk or do it without? Because she wasn't budging. You know, she tastes it. Oh, this is just fine. And to her, it was. I'm sure it tasted just fine. Right? But it was, I mean, it was a little hurdle to figure out like, hey, can I go visit grandma early in the week this time? And they only live like 3 or 4 blocks away from us. So a lot of times parents would go do something, and we'd go, you know, be at grandma's for a certain amount of time, like a few days.
Well, she lost apparently her sense of smell and taste apparently because she couldn't taste.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know about smell. I could only refer to taste, but you were saying that so they kind of mimic each other, like one goes, the other one follows oftentimes.
So anyway, talking about, if you think about losing your sense of smell, and especially if you had the super sense of smell and taste like this woman did, who could recreate recipes, that blows my mind. I couldn't even imagine having that super strong sense of taste and smell.
Right.
It says, studies have linked anosmia to socialized isolation and anhedonia. Another college word,
which
is an inability to feel pleasure, as well as a strange sense of detachment and isolation. Imagine, if you can't, having delicious food is one of the most basic pleasures that we enjoy as human beings, the way God created us.
Yeah, that's true, Tim. Even what makes it even more potent to me is that pleasure stays even if the rest of your life is in turmoil or the rest of your life's going perfect. You know, you still can find food, and for a little while, even when most other things may be a little shaky, you still have that. So to not have it, that's it kind of, what you're talking about kind of leads to a bigger thought, more macro thought that I had about how this COVID is affecting people all kinds of different ways. And I've been trying to articulate in my mind how to say this, but let's say in some states where there's more lockdown type strategies, in those places, other people are affected more that wouldn't be in other places, that like business owners and things like that, traffic, people that rely on trade that aren't able to do what they do, sports industry, all that kind of stuff. And then other places, South Dakota for one, that's a little more different approach, right? But then it's possible in South Dakota, some people might get a little more attached, find the COVID or get a little more sick from the COVID than they might have in other places. So my point is, regardless of whether we as a whole group of people have done too much or too little, the fact is there's a lot of people in a lot of despair and sadness and pain because of it, regardless if you just throw out all the strategies, good, bad, or otherwise. And that's what I'm trying to pay attention to and help out with any way I can, especially, Tim, because I got picked to not have any symptoms, you know. I got COVID and I didn't even know it.
You know your blood type?
B negative. Yeah. I don't remember what blood types are what, but when I was an HR manager at Menards, 2003 to 2006, I was, one time the topic came up. And so, my boss gave me a task to find out and bring it to a meeting, the blood types. For some reason, something was going on with a few people about giving blood or something. Maybe they asked our workforce to donate or something. And I remember the breakdowns, and B negative was the second rarest. And there's like a 2.5%, and B negative is like 4, 5, 6% in there. And then it goes up and it's like 7, I think, total. And one of them's in the 40s or 30s or something, the highest one. But I just don't remember which is which, except my own. So if there is one out there that helps not get the virus, that would be nice. And maybe it would be one that's a little more of the percentage, a higher percentage than B negative.
United States blood type. And O plus is 37%. And A plus, or A positive, I'm probably not saying it correctly because I'm not in medical field, is second. Sure. Populous, 35%, and then comes B positive, which is 8.5, and then AB positive, which is 3.4. Oh, this is not in order. And then A minus or A negative, which is 6.6.
Okay.
And, A negative, which is 6.6. So.
Did you see a B negative?
A B negative is the B negative is a second. Yeah. B negative is 1.5%, which is the second least populous. And the least populous is 0.6% is AB negative.
Yeah.
So you
see,
are.
That's funny. That's funny, Tim. You say, you remember you said to me, I know numbers, you know? I can't remember the letters to those, but I remember just about all.
Yeah, you remember the numbers.
I got digits floating around in my head all the time.
Well, we're talking about blood types unrelated to COVID, but, you know, I lived in Japan for 2 years and spent a lot of time exporting to Japan, spent a lot of time in Japan. And in Japan, they literally have a thing where they your blood type determines your personality. And they will ask you what your blood type is. At least when I'm there. You know, it's been 20 years since I've lived there. I don't know if the culture has changed. But
did you have to craft your personality around whatever your blood type was? Like they said, I'm O positive, and they go, okay, you're a real cranky guy, right?
I don't recall. Well, they didn't ask me because I was a gaijin, because I was out of the norm. I was not a Japanese, but the Japanese would ask each other.
Yeah.
Sean just said an interesting story. He said he knows a provider at the hospital who had a patient who got COVID three separate times, and the third time he ended up passing away.
Yeah.
Some bad luck right there, or bad fortune, whatever the term would be. So anyway.
Yeah, it's, well, I feel sad for those people that lose smell and taste. That's
there's more about it. We were talking about anyone just tuning in. We're talking about the some cases of people that have had COVID lose their sense of smell and taste, which is I think pretty well known. But there are a percentage of them who have never regained it, and we're talking about even what our sense of smell and taste means to us, and how we don't realize how much it plays in our life. It says loss of smell is a risk factor for anxiety and depression. I could understand that. I mean,
did you say something, Tim, about to me earlier about even some people are it's getting replaced with a weird.
Right. Here's
talk about that a little bit.
Talk about that. Okay. Many people who can't smell will lose their appetites, putting them at risk for nutritional deficits and unattended weight loss. Which is this one person, Kara Van Gilder, who was 26, has lost 20 pounds since March when her sense of smell vanished. There's no point in indulging in brownies if I can't really taste the brownie. For a few months, every day almost, I would cry at the end of the day. So there's that. But then, even worse, this is what you were alluding to. Some COVID-19 survivors are tormented by phantom odors that are unpleasant and often noxious, like the smells of burning plastic, ammonia, or feces, a distortion called paroxysmia. Again, with these college words. Could you imagine, not only you can't smell the delicious food, but all you can smell is poo-poo?
You know, that's a bad draw. Do you remember at all in any of your travels, schooling or whatever, the theory about smelling in general is like lock and key? And there's these, like, how we smell, what are the pores or whatever? That's probably not the best word, but we come up in there and they're a certain shape. And so some smells, the shape of the smell is like a little particle in a certain shape. And it's what smells good is when the shapes are the same and they go in. And then what smells bad to us is when they're not the same shape and they're rubbing on each other as we breathe in.
Oh,
that's a call lock and key theory about smelling. And I think, remember those people not really having enough evidence to say that's exactly how it works. But some people had believed that, done studies and thought that was the best way of describing it. But let's just say for sake of argument that that's kind of how it works. How then would you be smelling something that isn't there? Would it be almost like something got stuck, is just sitting there and just so stuck that it's rubbing?
reset. The brain is miscoding the signals from the nostrils. I would imagine. I have no way of explaining or understanding it, but it's horrible. I thank God that it has not happened to me. After loss, I mean, I think suicide rate would be a significant risk for if you can't. Like, so after loss of smell, different populations or subtypes of receptors may be impacted.
Yeah, receptors, yeah.
Receptors.
That's my word.
To different degrees, so the signals your brain is used to getting when you eat steak will be distorted and may trick your brain into thinking you're eating dog poop or something else that's not palatable. This is a quote from a doctor.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think what I'm kind of feeling in my soul as we talk about this is that, like someone said, a couple of people said to me, I might have talked to you on the phone on New Year's Eve. What'd you do? I go, absolutely nothing. And I was excited about it. Like when you start hearing about the plight of other people, two or three days of absolutely nothing happening in my life, it starts to have this value to it that's like pretty good. I didn't do much.
I'm telling you, I have no reason to complain. I think this is the great, in spite of how difficult 2020 was and COVID.
Yeah.
This is the greatest period of time to be alive. All of the things that are available to us. I've if you haven't heard me say it before, I do say it fairly frequently. This is a great time to be alive. I mean, you can pull up your phone and you can find anything you need. I've already pulled up my phone a couple times during this call.
Sure. And,
you know, even 20 years ago, I mean, there was reading an article about people that have been in prison for a period of time and what it was like for them to come out and with their biggest impact. And some of them were really funny. One of them was smart. One of them had two things that he was shocked about. One was smartphones and how much McDonald's has raised prices.
It's a
combination of things to be most noted about.
Yeah. Well, not, speaking of McDonald's, if you get something there and you kind of take the food apart, it's not a lot of stuff in there, like just a cheeseburger or something, and you take it and how much smaller it is than the bun. And it's like 40, it's like, 62 or 64% of a full slice of cheese now. And I don't know how they get the cheese that thin. I don't know how they do that without sticking to each other. So that's a notable one. Like,
well, now, I mean, I don't know what they put in there to keep it fresh. But have you seen these videos? And whether or not they're doctored or not, I mean, you can doctor pretty much anything.
You mean the meat patties, or
a whole hamburger, entire hamburger that has been in somebody's garage, not in a refrigerator, but in somebody's garage or wherever in storage,
for
years, and then they open it up, and it's not black with mold. It looks exactly like when you bought it. You ever seen any videos?
So you're saying there's some sort of preserve. They're doing something to keep for. Yeah. And then we're eating that probably if we go there.
Sugars aren't good for you.
Yeah.
You know, I used to drink a lot of Mountain Dew and I like the caffeine and I like the taste. And I kind of started drinking less of it and weaned myself off of it over a couple of years when I read an article that said one of the ingredients in Mountain Dew is also a flame retardant. And I remember telling my brother-in-law Lincoln, you may know Lincoln
passed,
and without a missing a beat, he just came back and said, well, at least now you know you won't burst into flames. Combustion.
Yeah, non-combustible Tim Walter now. Tim Wolf, that's good. Hey, I had something on my mind I wanted to run by you. This week a couple of times a theme of longevity crossed my path. Just the topic of longevity. And sometime between 1 year ago and 2 years ago, I don't know exactly when, but let's just say a year and a half ago, in that range, I was kind of pondering that. And I remember a time in my life where my family, my kids and Marcia and I would say we saved up change for like Well, we would have been going to church together and stuff at that time, maybe 97 or 8 for like 2.5 years. And at first it was kind of hard, like, oh, I like having that change in my pocket. If I go buy something, I worked at a group home at the time. So we're always stopping at convenience stores doing stuff like that. But then I got in the habit of that. And over time that turned into real money. Like I don't remember what we got, but there's a time where we took all of that. It was maybe a little below or over $1,000, which was a little bit of money back then. And we got something with it, right? So I got to thinking, how can I use this idea of longevity but get paid back earlier than waiting all that time, right? Like, is there a way I can hybrid it? And I came up with something. I just wanted to get your opinion on it. But what I came up with was when I spend a day, I just start the day out thinking, what would people think of me if whatever I do this day multiplied out over 90 years? So if I'm kind to people or generous, all of the attributes that one might like when you're having a funeral someday, I think, okay, for this day, I'm going to pretend that whatever I do this day, if I spend how I spend, if I overspend, because I kind of have an idea every day how much I have for a number in my head I could spend each day for non-committed spending. Oh, there's a fancier word than that I can't think of. But, you know, money that you have left over that you get to spend on whatever you want to, non-discretionary. And that kind of thing. So I think, okay,
be discretionary, right?
Right, right. So, for instance, if I buy this, right, and I multiply it out, when I'm 90, I'm broke because I spent every day over, right? So sometimes I found I'll eat something or not say something, or I'll go out of my way to say something in my mind thinking I'm going to christen this whole day and multiply it out and have to think, what would people think of me if my whole life was this day multiplied by, say, 100 years, that's 36,000 days, like that. And it's been kind of helpful. It's really adjusted my behavior, having that thought in my mind. And I've kind of used that idea of longevity. And yet when I put my head on my pillow, sometimes I'm aware that, hey, I came up with that little crafty way and I kind of get paid back today because I conducted my business, my interaction with other humans and the responsibilities that I have to myself and others a little better because of that notion. What if I froze it and multiplied it out, and that was the person I was for my whole life? You know, it doesn't work every day. Sometimes I got to put my head down and think, oh boy, no one's going to come to my funeral if I live that day, you know, for 2,000 days in a row or whatever.
Well, there was a movie. I'm going to come back, but I'm going to take a rabbit trail here.
Sure.
You talk about that Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
You remember Groundhog Day?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I really dig into the writing of it and who and the
what. Yeah, I love that movie. Yep.
Script writers thought, and you know, I thought, well, maybe how many times did he relive that day?
Right.
And I thought, well, maybe 30 or 60. And the script writer says, no, he had to relive that day thousands of times.
Yeah, to get that good at the piano.
One, to get that good at the piano, yes.
And, all the different things.
You know, so it took him that many times. Basically, every movie is about a hero's journey. You know, I've learned this recently.
And okay.
About the Epiphany Bridge, where you learn something at the end. I mean,
yeah.
Classic type of movies where the bad guy doesn't win. Now they're making movies sometimes where there is no good guy, there is no bad guy. But the classic movies, like with the guy in the white hat and the guy in the black hat, you knew exactly who the good guys were and the bad guys.
Yeah, sure.
The classic way of doing a movie is the hero has to make a journey and is not the same person, is a better person than they were when they started the story. And
Sean, he's a big movie buff. My son-in-law, Sean, he's... I'm not very good at watching movies. I'm just bebopping around. In fact, I was thinking, you know, you named this, the name of this is a tagline to this podcast is playing through the changes of life, right?
Yes.
If I was naming it for myself, it'd be like wandering around through the changes of life.
that's also a musical term. So if you're playing.
I was maybe talking to Joanna today, like it could be golf too, playing through, you know. Like, I know what you guys meant, but like playing through, like, excuse me, we gotta keep rolling here. Or playing like that, just playing like with the, you know, building blocks, licking logs, that kind of playing, that fits me the most.
Right, actually,
who knows what I'd be up to. But
anyway, back to before I went on that rabbit trail.
Sure.
That was the beginning of the year, so I'm taking some different self-improvement type of things. I've gotten into the world of Tony Robbins and Dean Ciosi. And today, while I was in my studio and I was doing some other things, and Dean Graziosi was talking, and he was talking about my favorite movie is The Godfather. He just asked what my favorite movie is. It's Godfather.
Yeah,
I love those. De Niro. De Niro actually in the first one, but Coppola, the director, and that sort of stuff, And then Godfather 2 is also amazing. Anyway, so they were talking about, similar to what you were saying, they were saying that what you do in private makes who you are in real life. I mean, and there's another way of saying it. They say what you become is what you do every day. You know, like if you're trying to be a better musician or you're trying to be basketball, we're both huge basketball fans.
Sure.
And guys that hit the clutch shot with 0.4 seconds remaining with a hand in their face.
Robert Horry, Derek Fisher, those boys.
Well, many of them. A game-winning shot with the game on the line, or you're at the line and you got two free throws to tie the game, like when the Celtics beat him. And of course, he's not a great free throw shooter. So, but you know, the pressure.
He made the first one, I think, huh?
What's that?
He made the first one, I think.
He did. He lost the second one. And so the point is, and they never make all of them. So you can't, it's hard. You can't pick out. I mean, I love the way Brad Stevens, a coach for the Celtics, says, you know, I never get upset about whether we make it or not. My goal, my mission is to get us the best shots. And it's as to the odds, whether it falls or not. And you get a last second shot with somebody in your face, like Tatum did. He had a game winning shot. He hit a three. Who did they win? It was
Is it recently or?
Yeah, it was the defending. Who's the defending defensive player?
Was it Toronto? Was it the Raptors or?
Oh no! Okay, that's when they beat the. Okay, they beat Milwaukee because Giannis was in his face.
I see. Yeah.
Three, but then with like a crazy call with like 1 second left, they were trying to alley oop and they called a foul against the Celtics, so Giannis had two shots to try to tie it up. Anyway, I mean, it's unfair to say that, but they know. I mean, Jordan missed a bunch of game-winning shots. I mean, Kobe did. I mean, you don't make them all, but you make a high percentage of them. It's based on the work you put in when you're looking. You know, the best
player. Like, that's what Ben Hogan, that golfer, used to say, is that I didn't win it that day. I won it when those 300 one iron shots I hit off the practice.
Right. So it's what you do when you're alone determines your elevation, where you go in life, no matter what it is you're doing. But also the other angle that they were talking about today when I was watching this is what you do when nobody's looking. They're talking about character.
Sure. Yeah.
A Christian podcast. It wasn't a Christian thing, but Dean is, he says, whoever you believe in, whatever you believe in, but he speaks with good morals. He said he wants to be a trustworthy person.
Yeah.
Wants to, you know, so general all over good morals, but he's not coming from a Christian perspective.
Yeah.
He said, whatever you do,
human interaction sense.
You know, you want to be the kind of person that even if people could see what you were doing when you're doing it in private, it's kind of what you're similar to what you're saying, not exactly the same, but.
Well, yeah, it's like I put myself in charge of myself, and then I just suppose, look, longevity works. We saved those coins. It turned into something, right? And we wouldn't have missed. We didn't really miss them, and then it accumulates over time. And this is just seems like it's found a way to each day, really make it each day matter. And like, it works really good with food, because I'll be like, remember I said 100 calorie difference a day in an average meal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a very broad thing, but that's 10.4 pounds, like, you know, 100 calories a day is 36,000 some calories a year, and 3,500 calories equals a pound of unburned energy, whatever. Either way, it's stored up or burned off. So that's, sometimes I'll get ready, oh, that would look good. Well, that's 200, Hershey bar, for instance, 220 calories. Like, I don't mind eating one of those, but two, I'm like, okay, if I do this every, I'm going over the top. Like, okay, that's 80 unburned calories if I eat that. I probably didn't get it all burned up. And then I think in my mind, stretching that out over time, where does that leave me? So if you never do the first day, you can't accumulate 10 or 20. And then if the days are really healthy and you start stacking those up, you get down the road and you really haven't had to have this big, you know, groundbreaking ceremonial change in your life. It's incremental, but it's disciplined, and it's mostly focused. You know, I really have found a way to make each day really matter. And for some reason, could be my dad passed away in February, could be, but I have on my heart, my essence of myself, like, I really matters to me when I'm not here anymore, what people think of me. What was Fedge like? My great grandson's granddaughter someday. What was Papa like? You know? And so that's what I came up with to kind of incorporate longevity and impatience into a strategy.
I think it's wonderful. You know, so, one of the things that Dean talked about today, Dean Graziosi was talking about, you know, it's not about big changes, you know, because now everybody's trying to make new changes for the, and Tony Robbins hates resolutions. So resolutions aren't a good term, but
yeah,
you know, new clean slate, new year, clean slate. If you want to make changes to reach goals, you reach your goals, whatever those goals are in.
Sure. Relationship,
financial, health,
business,
whatever it is. It could be all of those, just, or one of them or multiple of them. And it's not about big changes. It's not about, okay, I'm going to go out and run, you know, 20 miles a day now.
Right.
I'm not running. Yeah.
Starting today. Starting now. Right.
It's about small changes, incremental changes, and you just do them with consistency. If you do consistency, small incremental changes every, like you were saying, the 100 calories a day, and you reduce that, that'll make a big change. And the consistency is the hardest thing, especially when we get all excited about something, we get motivated. Maybe. Yeah. Picture of ourselves where, man, I've looked fat in that picture. I didn't like the way I looked. I'm going to try.
Sure.
Well, that wears off after about a week, you know.
Or just getting somewhere where this, you get somewhere where there's smells, and like, it's easy to insulate yourself. For me, one time, this is how I work for how tidy my house is. I get to where I want to clean it up. And when I was single again now, but up until 30, so it would be clean. Let's start off with it clean and be clean for a long, maybe 10 to 20 days or something. And then I'll go out of my apartment. Now I rent out most of my house, but this part back here, the two additions that are on it, I live in, and it's clean for a while. And I have a good friend named Kix, and he comes over and he doesn't know what condition it's going to be in, but then I'll leave one thing out. Like, I don't get a sock put in the dryer or something. Right. And it's like just breeds itself. Oh, the sock's out of place, so it's okay to throw a water bottle over there.
Exactly. And
Before I know it, I have a messy place. And then I wake up one day, and that, you know, a few days, a week or two, that doesn't bug me. But then I wake up a day and that does bug me. And I clean it up perfect again, and that just rotates itself. And that's kind of my normal cleanliness, or tidy around my house. But that's just the pace of who I am, and it doesn't really hurt anybody. But I notice if I can go and not have that sock out when I leave the house for somewhere and I come back and it's still all pristine, then it lasts another day or two.
Rudy Giuliani, I mean, for whatever you might think, anyone might think of him today, plus or minus for where he is today, but when he was the mayor of New York City.
Yeah.
I lived in New York in the early 90s, and New York was, there were problems. he became mayor in the mid to late 90s, and he radically changed the city.
Sure.
He had a policy of no small little things like broken windows or anything that was – or any graffiti.
Attention to detail made a difference for him.
Yeah. No small details would eventually – if you let that go, then you let the bigger things go that are actually matter, the crimes and things like that. And so New York became much, much better. You can find a lot of people who will praise his stint as mayor because of the way he kind of ran things with the iron fist, based with that principle.
Yeah.
Allow the small things. Don't let them, you know, what does it matter if there's a little graffiti? That doesn't hurt anything on the side of the subway car.
Right.
But he had no tolerance for that, because once you start seeing that.
Yeah. You conduct it so you don't let a trend get started.
Right.
To begin with.
The old thing.
Speaking of the mayor, it just comes to mind to say it's important to look at people in a panoramic view of their life. And if someone would do that to me, there would be patches, we'll say, not so suitable for framing, and other stretches.
Raising my hand 100%.
You know, and so when you, someone like Mayor Giuliani might be a poster boy for that concept, because it's amazing the things that he accomplished in sectors of his life, and
I think the main reason that they broke the back of the mafia. If he wasn't the main, he was definitely a contributing factor. You know, the mafia had a stranglehold and they could not get them. And I interrupted you.
I was just going to say too, you were talking about movies. One of my favorite movies is What About Bob?
I
don't know if you know that show or not.
I know a little bit.
So Bill Murray is the patient. He's wedged his way into the doctor's life, Leo Marvin. So they're having that Good Morning America episode in the house, right? And he's only known him 5 or 6 days, and he's got this book out, Baby Steppin', and he kind of takes over the whole show. Bob does, the patient. And so they go, how's the baby steps working for you? And he goes, well, I'm up here in Lake Winnipesaukee on vacation. Like, I must be going pretty good. I'm on Good Morning America. So when I was asking you about how, like, this little strategy that I have, I would have to say, well, I'm in the friendly confines of my own home. My current favorite place in the whole world is my own home on this podcast. So it must be doing pretty good, my strategy. So
we've gone over our minimum time. We're already into over 50 minutes. So,
hey, is that a hard thing? Like, do we get fined if we go over? I wanted to say one thing about last week. I was trying to come up with a name on that backup center on the Nets. And for some reason I had the last name Lee in my head. That's Jarrett Allen I'm speaking of.
Okay.
Jarrett Allen. He's got a big afro. And I was just watching today. They're thinking about putting him in the starting lineup. Their defense has slipped from the first two games, and now it's like 23rd or something defense.
They dropped the ratings. The power rankings came out, and they dropped 15 from last.
I know.
They were number two, and now they're, I guess, 17 in the East.
Yeah, they're just playing. Well, talk about playing through. I was going to say the other teams are just playing right through. I don't know. Don't those guys know how to play defense, like Durant and, I mean,
Kyrie?
We talked about Jordan before, DeAndre Jordan.
Defense,
yeah.
I mean, with the Celtics, I mean, he's like Harden. As Harden doesn't play, these guys, they don't spend energy on defense.
Yeah,
they're all about the scoring. So that might be a bit.
Yeah. Scary. Well, it's like some teams are like that. Nuggets in the 90s or something, when Kiki Vandeweghe and those guys, they bragged about it. No, we don't play defense. We just get the ball back quicker. If we, you know.
I mean, LeBron plays defense. LeBron
plays. Yeah, he does. Yeah.
So does, who's the Clipper who won it with him? I've drawn a name.
Oh, Kawhi Leonard?
Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, sure, he does. He's locked down.
He's locked down.
I don't know. I didn't know.
Probably better.
Go ahead. You go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm just saying. The great ones. I mean, Michael Jordan. He played defense. You know, so
I thought Durant and the who's Kyrie Irving? I didn't know they didn't play defense, but they haven't been the last. I mean, it's a small sampling, seven games, but
I think Durant go to defense.
I thought so, but anyway, that's a big change. If you talk about what happened in the last week, wow, what a shift! We were just ready to put some money on those guys. Two games into it.
They're so early, and they're playing games so fast. They're playing games every two days. You know,
they're compressing the season, huh?
Next week they could be back up 15 spots. So who knows?
Yeah. So I wanted to make sure I mentioned that. I think it's worth mentioning. Remember we talked about the Jets and them not being tankers?
Yes.
Do we want to mention the Eagles game? Do you know what happened there?
But go ahead.
Are you familiar with it? Or
I am not.
Well, so the Giants won their game, beat the Cowboys, and they came up with a 6-10 record, that really bad NFL conference or division. It's the Cowboys and the Redskins and the Eagles and the Giants. And they all, I can say it on here, they all suck really bad. They're all bad.
There is
and
no
Redskins.
Fetch.
Yeah.
There is no Redskins. Who are
the Redskins? I'm sorry. The Washington football team. My bad. I apologize profusely on that. Thank you, Tim. The Washington football team. I think everybody will see how genuine that apology is. So. That's called force a habit. I have that problem too. But thanks for telling me that. But that team, they're just really bad at playing football this year. All of them, all four of them. But the Giants played the Cowboys. They won. And they needed the Eagles to beat Washington, and the Giants would have been in the playoffs. And the Eagles tanked. They tanked so bad. They could have tied the game with a field goal on fourth. They were on the 4-yard line. They went for a touchdown instead. Didn't get it. And they basically tanked so they could have a better spot in the draft. And so Washington football team will be in the playoffs against Tampa Bay instead of the Giants. And it's before when people might tank, it was almost to the point they weren't sure. It's more talked about. It was more like a legend kind of thing. What do you call that? Just when some sounds like something's real, but it may not be.
Urban legend,
yeah. Like tanking is almost like an urban legend. Like people say they do it, but do they really? But this really happened, and it's gonna really hurt the Eagles. I think it's been
in the NBA. If you do something like that, they will find. They have the league has the right to fine you, and also do some other things. I mean, like I think strip draft choices, and it can really make it hard. Really make you feel the pain. I don't know if they can do that in the NFL or not.
Yeah, just think if you're the Giants and you worked so hard, even though it's 6-10, right? They won the game they needed to. And they had talk about – we were talking a little bit about paces of life and good spots, you know, like panoramic. The Giants' whole season was a panoramic. They had these spurts of two or three games that they were just amazing. And then they'd go the same amount and just be not a very good football team. And they got 6 wins. And then Eagles just lay down. And so Washington moves on. So it's interesting how we were back in supporting the Jets. I was anyway. About, hey, you can't accuse them of tanking. And now here we are one week later. And now we have to say the Eagles are tankers. You know,
I support the Jets only because I'm a big Gary Vee fan. And Gary Vee has been a... Do you even know who that is, Gary Vee? He's a social guy who gives – he talks about social media advice. He has an advertising company.
Okay.
And he started out by – he's a social media wizard. He's really an expert at using social media, and he – which is really important today. I mean, a lot of people listen to us, and he puts out so much content. He's just putting out tons of content, and he – he gives great advice, and he's from New Jersey, and he loves the Jets, and he wants one day he wants to own the Jets. He would love. And he's the guy who said, you know, pick it and stick it. Don't move. You know, when your team doesn't do well, stay supporting your team. I mean, and he's not going to go away from supporting the Jets, even though how horrible they are.
It's almost like, you know, that don't change lanes when you're in traffic. Like you see other people passing, so you go over there, and then that one stops, and then the one you're in takes off. And it's kind of like that. Hey, one other thing I was going to say, I think it was last Thursday, I went on a delivery to a tattoo parlor, tattoo shop downtown here in Aberdeen, and I'm fairly good friends with the owners of that. I've never had a tattoo in my life. I learned a little bit on this trip about tattooing, this little quick delivery, but I do know the couple that runs that. And so I thought I was going to be delivering a sandwich to them, but it was customers that were in there that were on what they call a tattoo break. Like, so I guess it exists where if you're getting enough done, you take a break, like a halftime or like a hockey game.
Oh yeah. There's pain involved. So, you know, give me a break
This couple, and they were together, and I think they were be safe to say college kids. And so the sandwich was for them. So I said hi to the people I knew quick and got the sandwich to these people. And then sometimes people want to sign the slip, but COVID era, it's kind of not so hand-to-hand stuff is less like they're, I think Visa and people like that are just taking people's word for it more, you know, than just having to have the hard copy. But she was right there and said, hey, I'll sign that. So she signed it, $2 tip, which is, you know, just fine. Like I love tips, but I don't really want them unless people want to give them to me. Anybody that doesn't give me a tip doesn't make me feel bad, because I only want it if they want to give it to me. In fact, the lady today said, hey, do you want me to give you a tip? And I said, if you want to give me a tip, I really want a tip. But if you don't, I don't. So, but what this girl did is she put one of the zeros, she made a smiley face, garden variety smiley face. And then the other zero was a stoic guy that was winking at me with just a flat line for a mouth. And I just thought it'd be worth sharing. It didn't cost her anything, however much ink. It might have been my pen, probably was my pen, so it cost her nothing. But how much more valuable those two smiley faces were to me than any tip, dollar tip, you know. Because I can see where I would put a smiley face on there trying to get her to get somebody to give me something, but she was the one giving me the tip, and she was saying to me something more than nothing about have a good day or something, some message that whatever she was trying to portray to me, it felt good. So I've just had that on my heart and my mind. Like, if there's anything I can do that's quick like that, that makes someone else feel like I felt when she did that.
Sure.
Man, that's a partial second, couple of seconds so well spent, you know.
Absolutely.
So.
All right. Well, this is the longest podcast we've ever done.
Well, I think we went to 104. We could do the scales or something for another, but we
went to 104 last time. I don't remember.
Yeah, 104 something. Hey, I was going to tell you too. I hope you and Jimmy know, like having me on and asking me, hey, what's going on in your mind? That's kind of high risk behavior, you know? Because it's not necessarily the quietest place up there. So, well, I appreciate you, Tim.
I appreciate you.
It's fun getting on here and chatting, and
we got to see you guys.
Just being real.
All right.
See ya.
See ya.